there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 279. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we're middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going?
Going good.
Good.
Excited to be here.
For sure. Yeah, you missed a couple, didn't you?
I did. That was cool. Yeah.
This is going good.
I'm begging a little. Yeah, that's right. Everything outside the bubble, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had our talk. That's right. Yeah. This right here,
This is good.
This is okay. Yeah.
It's positive.
Creepsville, right?
Yes, it is good. Mm-hmm. And it's back to the three of us. So
uh-huh. Yeah.
Sean had a 4-week vacation.
I did. I know. I almost feel like I should feel bad about it, but I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Blame you a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was God's Nate country down in Lake Cumberland. Yeah,
I had nothing.
The first part of it.
I'm going to have my little getaway.
Yes, you are.
Little weekend getaway. Yeah. Gosh, awesome. I can't come soon enough. That's September.
Where Betsy Kolakowski said that she had some weird dreams there? She's like, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. She said,
I'll like it.
Mm-hmm. So, heck yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Seal Bach Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the whole day off Friday so I can leave. So I'm going to time it where, because it's a 2-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
Say like 2 hours and 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get to the hotel. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna leave and time it out so I can get there right checkout time or check in at 4, mm-hmm. and then have the evening and I'll have all day Saturday. Yeah. So there's supposed to be some restaurants around the hotel that I'm gonna check out, and you know, maybe I'll have some paranormal activity happen.
You gotta have a story you gotta come back with.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not paranormal, we need a food story. We'll take food.
So I was telling somebody the other day about where I was going, and I was like, yeah, we talked about it, but I can't remember. Did we do, was it Haunted Louisville or Haunted Kentucky? Because we did mention the seal box, but I can't remember. Because I think I had Haunted Louisville as one of my topics.
Yeah.
And I thought.
I think
it might have been it.
Was that, yeah. Or did we just do it as a. General Kentucky.
I don't think we did a General Kentucky.
Okay.
I think we did.
Oh, you know what? We did that for a live show.
That's why.
Yeah. So we did.
That's right.
But yeah, it's going to be at the Seal Bach. I'm leaving on a Friday, come back Sunday. So I'm excited just to recharge, just kind of get away.
Mm-hmm.
Different scenery.
You don't have to leave on a jet plane for that.
No. I'm not having a private helicopter take.
All right.
The Mako helicopter. The Mako jet.
There goes our creepy president.
We got to make sure
it works. And right now, it's just toothpicks glued together.
Aren't you? You're more
with the rubber band.
Is it even that?
You're more the CEO of Mako.
That's right.
There goes our CEO. Go.
Yeah.
See him go.
Yeah. See him go. No, I was glad though. You got a chance to get away and have fun with your family.
It went so fast. Sunday.
It always does.
I was like,
always does.
Were we on vacation? Did that happen? Yeah.
So. I know. But it is a bummer. But.
While you guys were down there having fun at the lake and I had to come home, I watched the new Mummy movie.
Yeah, you were telling us about that. Yeah. That's wild.
Pretty good.
So
I'm still, I don't know about, like you said, well, it's not too, you know, when I said, is it gory or graphic? And you said,
it's not Brendan Fraser, I heard. That's what people are like. People went into it thinking that it was going to be like.
That was more like a funny.
Oh, like,
yeah. Well, this is a straight up horror.
Horror.
This is like, yeah, in your face.
I can handle violence, but I can't handle the over the top, like, oh, man, I don't want.
I mean,
as I've mentioned,
some shocking parts I heard.
Yeah,
right?
It's some shocking scenes and. I mean, there is blood too. And stuff, but it's not like over the top necessarily. Right. It's not like a pool of blood. And
well, no, that doesn't bother me. It's how the blood. No, it's not blood. It's
It's just your typical stuff. I'd imagine.
Like it's hard to I just don't want
typical Hollywood stuff day to day.
Like to me, gore is up. Like I like the movie Vampires with James Wood.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
Woods. whatever his last name is.
James Wood.
But there's a couple scenes, two or three scenes, I'm like, when I didn't expect it because I didn't know. And I was like, oh, gosh. So now when I watch the movie, I can't look. I look away when they're partying in the hotel and the guy opens the door and the vampire slices him right in half. That's what I'm saying. That stuff I can't do that.
All that's coming to mind
like,
is
you know, somebody getting stabbed or, oh, that's fine. I just can't handle the over, like, oh, gosh, or brains getting blown out in a mafia movie. I can't handle that. Nah. It's just the visual that I just don't.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, because my gauge is different than your gauge.
I'll watch it with you, and you tell me. Turn away.
You said it was like a modern day Exorcist.
So yeah, it feels.
That's not a good start.
And Todd's like, I'm out. Okay.
Well, you
it
know,
sounds
like,
good
like,
though. It does sound
like an attack where you know bite the neck and take a chunk out of the neck or whatever. I mean,
that's not too bad.
Yeah,
no,
it's not horrible.
I can handle that.
I haven't
seen somebody.
Getting sliced in half.
Sliced in half. Like, didn't they do that in 13 Ghosts or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The window goes boom like that and then his front half slides down. Yeah.
That's wild. That's what I'm saying.
I haven't seen the Mummy movie, but I've seen scenes from it and that's intense enough. Mm. And even the trailer and the way people have talked about
it. Who's like the main, like, who are the actors in it? Are they known or are they just kind of
not really?
Not known.
I don't remember anybody in it that I'm real familiar with.
Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Okay, I've heard of Lee Cronin.
Yeah, he did.
I can't remember what he looks like.
What did he make? He did another movie here recently.
I
can't remember what it is offhand. Oh, the new Evil Dead Rise.
Oh,
he did.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't think I'm gonna
watch. How about that? I was right on it. People are saying that it's drawing comparisons to The Exorcist.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I nailed it right on the head. The cast is Jack Rayner, May Calamari.
No.
Yeah. Leah Costa. It's not any like huge names or nothing.
All right. No, I might give it a shot then.
Yeah, it's on. I watched it on.
Well, what is HBO, what's it on? I don't have HBO.
But it says it's on six others.
We've got Prime, Netflix, Pluto.
Yeah, it's on
and Tubi.
Prime.
That's what we. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I've been on a movie binge again, like almost every night. Watching, like, you know, like when you watch a movie and they'll just give you recommendations kind of like similar to what you've been watching. And I've never heard of them before. And so I've been trying those movies. They're kind of like indie movies.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Like, really done well. So that's what I've been watching. You know, horror, thriller, like psychological thrillers.
Just a thriller.
They have that Odyssey movie's coming out. Or it's out, right? I think it's out now, yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but they say there is a part of it that has, it's a horror scene, basically. Weird. And so I'm excited about that. I'm like,
I want to see that.
It's so new on Prime that you can rent it for
$3.99. No, I'm not right. No, it's got to be free.
No dice.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. And we're all three together again. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, episode 279. That's wild that we're almost to 300. We're
marching to 300.
300 full. Got a few more to go.
It's been a long march, but this is the short part of the march.
Yeah.
July.
It's July. Oh, that's right. You're right. It is.
Which is weird to me because the kids start school August 4th or 5th. Weird. Oh, well. That's how it goes. But I know my son's probably so excited.
Probably not.
All right. You know what time it is?
I think I know.
It is the dad joke of the show. See what we got here. You ready, Nate?
Born ready.
I know Sean's ready.
Oh, I'm always ready.
What is the easiest way to burn 1,000 calories? Just leave the pizza in the oven.
Oh.
Yeah, that'd burn it.
That makes sense.
And that is the dad joke of the show. And you are welcome as always. Just leave it in the oven.
Would burn it.
So I told... I heard you guys when you did one of the episodes hasn't dropped yet, but you're talking about pulling those cards like Johnny Carson is Karnak the Magnificent. Yes.
Yeah,
and I was like, it's Karnak the Magnificent. That was like the only thing I probably could.
Yelling at the
I was just thinking about it because I'm like, oh my gosh.
We like our episodes being interactive. That would be
yeah, exactly.
Email.
Like,
yeah,
I know what that
when
is.
We can't remember names and movies.
I felt it, right? I felt it.
Oh gosh, well, I know that happens more than once. So people are yelling at us like
the strangers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, Sean, do you have first announcements?
I do. We come here every week for the guy time, the paranormal, the fun, the creepy. But the most important thing we do is continue to build a mental health community. So we want you to get help out there. You can call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know, that you know or someone you know may be experiencing. What the heck did I do with all that?
Have you been on vacation?
I know. Vacation brain's still there,
you
right?
You said it, but you just stopped.
Go get you some help. I did. I know. I was like, what? Yeah.
Double take.
This is not going to be that kind of night. We're not going to have all this.
I was going to say, are we all going to
I'm not setting that stage.
Forget how to talk.
Edit that out later.
No. So today, so every Wednesday morning for almost an hour, sometimes it's a full hour, sometimes it's 40 minutes, 45 minutes. One of our staff members does a presentation. Mm-hmm. Like we'll start out with a prayer. We'll do a couple worship songs, quick ones. And then somebody will do a presentation. And today, one of our staff members did one on mental health.
Nice.
And I didn't know that. She said she's always been a mental health advocate. She talked about even how it affects people in ministry. And she gave, I can't remember, I should have screenshot or took a picture of it. But you wouldn't believe the amount of, like, the percentage of pastors. You know how, like, they're always with people. Mm-hmm. They're preaching to a lot of people on Sundays. They're doing hospital visits and mm-hmm. funerals and weddings and counseling. And they're all, working with staff and all that. It was like
wears on them.
30 or 40% or could have been higher, like, say that they have a sense of loneliness, mm-hmm. even if they're married. I mean, it was, and then stats of, like.
They're taking all this time, their time, to help everyone else, but yet
right.
they don't ever focus right. on themselves.
Right. It was really interesting.
I feel that way in my job, and I've mm-hmm. told Jenna that many times. Not to get like, oh, look at me.
No,
but I've told that to Jenna before. There's some times in my life, and she and I have talked about that, like I some days feel so lonely in a world of millions and billions, mm-hmm. And I see people every day. It's not like I'm on an island. I'm going out there. But I said, and I actually told Harrison this and Jenna, I said, the one thing that I'm trying to do is not look at people as problems or things to get in my way. Like, how can I learn from this person? Mm-hmm. And also not take it personally mm-hmm. or say, I can only do so much, is to try to take some of that psychic weight off myself. And I think that helps. I mean, that has been certain to mm-hmm. reframe it a little bit, but man, I completely understand that.
Yeah, she was a missionary for years in Kosovo. And when she got in the missionary field, she was by her mentor. Like her mentor said, like, you got to be ready, like, to have a good relationship with God, because you're, even though you're going to be with people, and she was didn't have a husband at the time, like mm-hmm. she's married now and of course works at our church, but like she had to be prepared to be like deal with life by herself. Like it was a different world. Like she's like, I had to spend Christmas by myself, my birthdays, mm-hmm. All these different holidays by myself, even though I was out in the mission field with mm-hmm. other people. It was a sense mm-hmm. of loneliness.
Lifting others up, but nobody there to lift you up.
Right.
It was funny. Something actually that happened today. I was talking about this, makes me think of it. I was feeling a little down, a little overwhelmed about something and, in work and all these things, and you just get in that mode and you need those pick me ups too. And I went past a church that was over on the northeast side of Indianapolis, and they have a sign out front of their church. And I don't go by that all the time, but every time I notice it, and this morning I noticed it, and it's exactly when I needed it, because I was starting the spiral, and it says, "You are loved." And I actually stopped what I was thinking and said, "Thank you. I needed that. Like, thank God. I appreciate mm-hmm. that." So it was like, "Hey, dude, we got you, you know. And I was like, that's cool. So if you stop and just really think, the other thing is, I mean, I was hearing some horrible patient stories of one of the guys that we're seeing, and I won't tell all of this story, but he basically had a failed suicide attempt. It just make you cringe. I'll tell you off here, but he's five years out from that, and so his mental health has improved since then. He's still dealing with a lot of things that happened that he survived a 5-story jump, basically.
It's kind of like PTSD from surviving.
Yeah, and all I could think was after we talked about him in our meeting was, life's not so bad, you know. No matter what I got to complain about, it is not healing after 5 years from a failed suicide attempt.
Well, like I said, I'm pretty open on our podcast. Mm-hmm. I messaged you. I said, I've got my mom, I've got you guys, I've got tons of other friends. I work with a good amount of staff, but I feel lonely. Mm-hmm. I have a sense, and it's one of the worst. It's the worst feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even though I have a ton of support and friends, and I just feel lonely, you know?
That's how I felt last year and the year before when I was working away from home.
Yeah.
You know, I was by myself at the camper.
We missed you.
We did remote.
But it's not the same.
Recordings and stuff, but yeah.
It's not the same.
You know, I was over in Ohio for a snip and up in South Bend, and it's like...
It sucks.
I'm all by myself.
Yeah.
She gave a stat also. She said they did a study that the average amount of time, so if someone needs to talk to somebody, to like if they're struggling, mm-hmm. and they need a pick me up, and they just need a vent or whatever, it only takes 8 minutes. It's not like you need talk to somebody for an hour or somebody need, like you don't need to give an hour of your time. All somebody's asking for is 8 minutes on average to mm-hmm. help them get through that moment mm-hmm. of whatever.
Well, I'm like, voicing a lot of stuff. I mean, it relieves that weight mm-hmm. that you're carrying.
I have that with patients all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think, oh man, we didn't get everything I done I wanted to, but we get through them getting out of some of their life stressors. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge psychic weight that people need to mm-hmm. get out of, you know, and they don't always have a lot of people to be able to do that with.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's, I won't mention the staff member's name that did the talk this morning or the presentation. Mm-hmm. And I won't mention a friend of mine that I talked to through text before I came to podcast, but she's a school teacher and school hasn't started yet, but for teachers she's worked 2 days this week. And yeah, she was telling me, she's like, her summer hasn't gone quite as well as she wanted it to go, but she realized how burned out she was from last year. Mm-hmm. But she has had some good moments, you know. But she said that she's like, I just went into my boss's office. Okay. And she's like, I literally just broke down, cried for a half an hour. And she's like, I said, you know what? I was like, well, I'm sorry that you felt like that. I said, but that's what God did, is he made us be able to cry mm-hmm. because that helps us mm-hmm. to relieve the buildup, right? And, you know, she's a believer, and she's like, oh, I know, I get it. You know, and I said, I haven't had a good cry. I said, I've cried a few months ago. I said, but I haven't had a good cry in a while. I said, I'm jealous. I'm like, I need a good, just all in out, just, you know, I've gotten teary.
Have a hammer. Put your hand down.
Hit your hand.
I've gotten teary. But I haven't had a good cry. And so she was like, well, she's like, anytime you want to reach out, she's like, I'll cry with you. I said, thank you. But mm-hmm. sometimes that's what you do. Just, mm-hmm. you know, but 8 minutes though, just could change somebody's day or whatever or moment. Yeah. So it was a really good presentation. And I sent her a message saying, somebody that struggles with, you know, depression and anxiety and all that, I said, thank you for being an advocate. So, I said, we actually on our spooky show, I said, we do that. So, because people mm-hmm. don't realize, you know, like new, you know, people I meet, and they'll say, oh, that's cool. You advocate for mental health on a paranormal time. I'm like, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. That's just another thing we do. So it's important to us.
It is. It really is.
Never know. Never know who you're going to help.
Is there anybody to help you with relieving stressors from dreams?
because I had some weird ones. Or
oh, I had one. Stressful. Yeah, I woke up. Yeah. I was just angry and
oh wow,
mad.
Dream therapist.
Swinging. I was not in a good mental state.
You need a psychoanalyst or something. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now I do. Now that I have the CPAP and sleeping well, I do dream a lot now. I know I dream every night. Sometimes they're so off the wall or goofy or not impressionable that I don't remember them, mm-hmm. but I know I did dream. Mm-hmm. This one, I dreamt, and I remembered most of it. And we went to some venue for a concert, and we bought tickets. But all I had was the confirmation. Like, they wouldn't give me the tickets.
Oh, no.
So then they wouldn't let us in the venue. Like, what are you talking about? And I just, like, losing my mind.
We had that at the ice game. Because they wouldn't let us in. Yeah. It was freezing cold out. We're like, I got so angry. It's
here's the confirmation.
Just let us in. We're freezing out here. Come on. They're like, well, you need to go around the side of the building.
Oh, I remember that.
And so, I was like,
finally, like, we're out there arguing with these people, and you hear the warm-up band playing. It's like,
yeah, like, I want to see it.
Well, that's who I wanted to see, too. And now they're playing. I don't get it. They're like, well, you don't have the physical tickets. Like, yeah, but I have the confirmation.
I purchased them.
Finally, like, you know, the manager finally comes over, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll let you in. It's like, well, thank you. And by the time we get in there, like, the main act is like on their like last song.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, what? Ah! And then I woke up.
You woke up.
And I just all frustrated. And,
oh, shoot.
Did anybody listen to Ozzy today? Because it was, they said, it was 1 year of him passing. So he passed on July 22nd, a year ago. And they had said, if you listen to any Ozzy Osbourne, listen as loud as you possibly can and do some headbanging in his honor.
I didn't think it was that long.
It's
ago.
Been a year.
I would have said like 5 or 6 months ago.
Yeah. Exactly. And weird. It feels just like yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's wild.
Anyway.
All right, we want our creepies healthy, so go get you some help, and we're here for you too. So, special announcement. So I put this on here, speaking of mental health, thought I would add it. Saw this over the weekend, so here we go. So on Saturday, September 12th, here in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Military Park, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is having a walk with us to raise money for suicide prevention. The check-in is at 12:30. The honor bead ceremony is at 1:30. The opening ceremony is at 2:30. And then the actual walk begins at 3 o'clock. You can contact Tammy Lundy at 317-426-1750 or email her at indieoutofthedarkness@gmail.com if you have any questions or need more information. I thought that's so cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So September 12th, walk with us to raise money for suicide prevention. So, and what's interesting is I just saw the Saturday, and since then, today's Wednesday, I've seen, I don't know, 3 or 4 posts like on Facebook with this, and some people that I'm friends with follow this. Okay. Foundation or their Facebook site or page, whatever. So that's cool. Oh, that's wild. Yeah. So that's a cool thing. So I might try to sign up for it. Cause that's the week after. Yeah. Cause I was like, okay, I'm going to be gone the 4th. So yeah, that'd be the following weekend. Mm-hmm. So I might try to do that.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I'll try to mention that every time. Mm-hmm. So, all the, special announcements that's been mentioned. So Sean,
yes.
What are we talking about?
This is your pick, and it is the Fairfield County Infirmary. And if interested, please check out the show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Yes, sir.
Your pick. Yeah. Ohio, the Buckeye State, right?
As the Buckeye
Austin
State.
With
as our friend Jim Harold, he always says, O-H-I-O.
High in the middle, round in size, high in the middle. No, I'm not saying that right, am I? Ohio.
O's on
now
the
we're
going to
have Ohio people yelling at us.
I know. I can't remember.
O's on the end, high in the middle.
High in the middle.
Yeah. Ohio.
All right. Do you have a foundation on the Fairfield County Infirmary?
Fairfield County Infirmary in Lancaster, Ohio is widely considered one of the most haunted places in the state, drawing paranormal enthusiasts due to its dark history as a poorhouse and infirmary. The facility, which operated from 1828 until 1985, housed thousands of poor, elderly, and mentally ill, with over 1,200 unmarked graves buried on the grounds. Never a good recipe, right? Contributing to its reputation as a living graveyard. It's not what I want to be called.
No,
thank you.
No. Yeah. Let's get do a little more history here first, and we'll get into the creepy stuff. Yeah, so it says, in 1828, the growing community of Lancaster built a simple wood frame almshouse, a place for the poor and outcast to find home. Almshouses. Have you ever heard that?
Alms for the poor.
Alms for the poor.
I've never heard of it. Alms.
That? Alms for the poor.
I have not, but I have now. Almshouses and poorhouses accepted many people, but inevitably most poorhouses ended up home to the elderly, the infirm or disabled, widows and or orphans, the insane, and even criminals and vagrants. As a result, conditions in these homes were often suspect, but the first residents of the new Lancaster poorhouse enjoyed good conditions for the era. For the early years, anyway. So there we go. It always starts out again. Starts out with really good intentions, but quickly goes awry. But anyway.
So in 1840, a more permanent red brick structure replaced the original wooden Holmes house. It expanded over time, included a farm, tenant houses, laundry, and a pauper's cemetery.
Oh. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of... Central State Hospital that I, I cleaned, one of the offices I, or one of the buildings I cleaned used to be the old laundry facility for the Central State. But yeah, so well, they always had built, you know, separate buildings for that stuff.
This is interesting. At its peak in 1903, the infirmary house, housed 82 to 83 residents. Pretty big.
Yeah, that's a good amount. I mean, am I wrong? When we went to Randolph County Asylum, didn't they take in criminals too, or vagrants? I guess
they
part
took
of
any indigent
like, or disabled.
Disabled.
And, yeah, poor, I mean it's kind of similar to this, right?
Yeah. And, okay. Well, that was interesting. That's where we learned, or at least I didn't realize it, that every county had an asylum of some kind, and they were all they were structured around. Across basically design so that it was always centered on refuge and God was your refuge. So, and that is interesting to me that, you know, like who knows, you know, you could have something medical happen that, you know, put you on a bad course, or, you know, you could lose your, you know, lose your life savings, or, you know, become poor, go to the poorhouse multiple times, you know, things are out of your control. So back, I mean, we look at it as like, oh, just these crazy people had to go there. You know, it's like, no, it was for a wide variety of people.
But yeah,
yeah, the asylum had, Randolph had all kind of some of the stories about the criminal, the band of people that were, because they had a...
Well, they had that jail.
The jail. And, yeah, jail, exactly. So, yep.
And then they had the judge and...
Oh, yeah.
and he's supposed to still be there.
Upstairs.
Anyway. Anyway, back to this.
That's right.
Fairfield. Do you have, you guys have any more like history on it before we get into the creepy stories?
No, not really.
It said the,
it's old.
It was upgraded also at 1917 is when they got gas lines installed for light and heat.
Interesting, isn't it?
Later piping was installed throughout its walls to channel fresh water by 1926. Yeah, I know, we take those things for granted. Its evolution staggered behind that of the country, as the infirmary did not incorporate electricity until installation of its actual installation in 1958. Adequate conditions once filled the infirmary in the 20s, as county officials dined with the inmates on occasion.
Really?
It says at Christmas, Lancaster residents gathered donations to ensure the disconnected residents received gifts, even welcomed local bands and orchestras performing entertainment for the elderly, while enjoyment of ice cream and music obliterated the concept of time. The asylum, with its corrugated corridors, withheld walls, and concealing ceilings, entice one to attempt to extract its legends, its secrets, without getting caught, almost tantalizing the curiosity of those that dare, and equivocate the past. The foundation of the infirmary's reputation fascinated a group of paranormal investigators to make that trek, touring the location and foray its ancient historical secrets. As guests for 3 days, the team documented their findings and released the Forgotten documentary. So there's a documentary about it called The Forgotten.
Hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's available on Amazon.
I found the site that you were reading from. That's really interesting.
It's directed by Matthew Thiel. Hmm. So that's cool.
Matthew Thiel.
By 1865, they needed to expand again to handle an explosion of new residents from Civil War widows to permanently disabled veterans.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, this paragraph says that they encase those with mental disorder, severe health affliction, alcoholism. I bet, yeah, I can imagine that. And others who were left with permanent scars tattooed across their flesh.
Mm.
As death drenched continuous through its doors, the county opened a cemetery solely devoted to bury the persons who expired within the enclosed walls. Those not claimed by next of kin, and I always feel bad when I hear a story about that. Like they have nobody to claim.
Nobody, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Traveling by alias or unable to secure a proper burial were given a small plot of earth to forever encase their corpse. There only stands a few tombstones as the rest are unmarked graves with untold stories forever silenced by the earth beneath. But it's just like, man, you always assume everybody's got somebody, right?
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No, it's true. Actually, I have one patient and he is I have never ever filled out where it says, you know, support none. He is support none, but he does, like, he has his doctors basically. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Hmm.
And, but he handles it. So I like the fact that this was called the Old Poorhouse.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. There's this is a cool story. One ghostly tale tells of Jane Householder, a 73-year-old inmate resident who burned once flames leapt over the oven and enveloped her clothing in flames. Two staff personnel managed to grab two rugs and smother the flames after they heard her shuddered scream. They successfully distinguished the fire, however, brought no salvation as Jane died 9 hours later.
Oh, no.
Another incident involved an inmate who struck the superintendent across the head with a bar used to stack hay in 1924. Later, it surfaced that the inmate took the opportunity to act in retaliation as Superintendent Floyd Hummel took pleasure in regularly beating inmates in the front yard and across the road, working the field, callous to witnesses passing by.
Yeah.
That is sad. Becomes the darker side of the history
as the mistreatment starts. I hate hearing that. This kind of got what he deserved.
There was a upstairs dungeon. Did you hear about that?
No.
So it says within the walls, although thought to be revolutionary treatments and innovative exercise at the time, personnel actually induced cruel and extensive punishments to the inmates and patients as a result of that left disfiguration, further complications, and in severe cases, death. A dungeon upstairs detained those who refused to obey the house rules. Personnel placed the offenders in chains against the wall and quarantined them from the adjacent quarters where travelers stayed. While the travelers worked to earn their keep, they attempted to suffocate the screams of those incarcerated. Another jail cell remained below where 24-hour isolation demanded the rules be followed. With the ability to lose yourself in the many levels and corridors, the property housed an active funeral parlor. The morgue shared with the city an asylum, orphanage, and presented a makeshift haven for weary travelers.
Wow.
That's a lot going on there.
Yes, it is.
And we're not even to the creepy.
We haven't even done anything.
It's creepy enough.
Wanted, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like in 1985, they sold the farmland. They sold the farmland in 1965 to Ohio University.
No. Bobcats. It's their mascot.
The final workers and residents left in 1985, so it more or less shut down, and it was renovated and opened up as county offices the following year and changed its name to Clarence E. Miller Building.
Hmm.
The Miller Building housed the county health departments for 27 years until the decaying building was finally closed down for good in 2013.
Not that long ago.
No, that wasn't the end for the historic almshouse. Local residents and paranormal enthusiasts soon took interest in the old building due to its storied past, mm-hmm. which we have been discussing. Then tours of the space soon became commonplace.
No yawning. Thanks. No. Sorry.
He held it back. Look at
it. He did.
The building was sold in 2020. And in the few years since, it has opened up for full-fledged ghost hunts.
Nice. Ooh. Nice.
But just what sort of spirits still call this old almshouse home? Mm.
The interesting thing.
We'll find out.
It says the 1,200 people that were buried in the cemetery, and then there's an additional 1,600 buried further behind the property. Jeez. In another section, it says they call these people the unrested dead. That's a that's a term we've never heard before, but that sounds terrible.
I don't think we've heard that. Unrested dead. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with the creepy. I'm going to start since this is my topic. Mm-hmm. The spirit of mysterious Willie.
Willie.
So it says, with a past so riddled with death and misfortune, it may come to no surprise that the Fairfield County Infirmary is filled with ghost stories. The building has so many reported spirits, a few have been given names. One of the most well-known is Willie, a listless apparition who is said to haunt the second and third floors of the infirmary. Many say Willie seems lost or like he's looking for something. He's almost always seen walking aimlessly throughout the halls, stopping occasionally to peer out the windows.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's kind of sad, though.
It is sad.
Kind of just wandering around.
Willie.
Searching for something.
Willie, won't he? Who knows?
I lost my marbles.
Oh. You know, Hook with Robin Williams. Uh-huh. He goes, I lost my... Oh, here they are. Here they are.
He picks you up. You found my marbles.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Maybe we watched that with the kids and, thousand times.
You got my reference.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It really is.
All right. Who else has some ghost stories?
There's a little girl named Susie, right?
Susie. Okay.
Another
Susie's on the air.
Susie Q.
Another Susie Q, right? Another oft reported ghost around the Fairfield County Infirmary is a little girl some have dubbed Susie. The spirit of Susie has been reported in a few locations, including doorways of former offices and areas around the morgue. Susie is said to be a young blonde girl who appears sad or lonely. Some have tried to interact with her only to have her disappear before their eyes.
Mm.
So, hello and goodbye, Susie.
So, Willie and Susie.
Mm-hmm.
Susie Q's, by the way, are really good. I haven't had one in a while. Mm-hmm. It made me think of the snack.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I've even seen those in a while, Susie Q's.
Yeah?
Because they were the chocolate and had the cream in the middle.
And the cream in the middle. Ooh, it's been a long time,
It's been a while.
No, I was singing a Little Susie from Tesla.
Oh. Tesla. I'm thinking snacks.
My mind always goes to music.
Food or music or both.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or both.
Can't go wrong with either. What you got, Nate?
There are fiery phantoms.
Fiery phantoms. Okay. Do tell.
Perhaps the saddest ghost story of Fairfield County Infirmary is that of Jane Householder, which I think you talked about. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, she was burned alive, as you said, by the gas stove. Now, the specter of Jane is regularly sighted throughout the infirmary. I wonder if she's like ghost flames.
You think like...
That's how you like to picture your Jane.
Well, I think it'd be terrible if you saw her and she was like burned, like, you know.
Yeah. Charred up.
Yeah.
You imagine reliving that trauma over and over and over again. No.
It says she was 73. Did you?
I didn't say that, but yeah.
Yeah.
It said
Jane died within the building when she was 73 years old.
I think I did anyway. But that's pretty old.
I mean, it's, she's not like a kid, but I'm just saying, like, you make it to 73, it's kind of like the last way I want to go is get burned alive, you know.
They say she is most often encountered as an apparition of an old woman wearing a dress. Okay. So no ghostly fires.
Well, good. I hope she's not charred up.
Unlike Susie's spirit, no one has reported the results of interacting with Jane's phantom.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's odd. I think that. Okay.
But she's there, but she doesn't really.
Yeah.
Interact with anybody.
That is interesting. This says other spirits rumored to hang around the infirmary are that of a young girl who have, I just, oh, okay, you, yeah, never mind. It started out, it said Susie, mm-hmm. and, because I thought, oh, I'm going to read the same thing that Sean did. But it says, and a 9 foot tall shadow figure.
Ooh,
I saw nine that.
Remains in the attic. Also, like you said earlier, called the dungeon, which is funny that it, the attic is called the dungeon. Uh-huh. Usually that's always.
Other way, yeah.
Yeah.
Subterranean.
Also called the dungeon, as misbehaving residents were often chained to the walls up there. So a 9 foot shadow figure.
What do you think the story is Yikes. Behind that? That sounds terrifying, right?
So. That yeah, that'd be a little terrifying.
Be very terrifying.
I mean, a 6 foot shadow figure is terrifying, mm-hmm. but 9 feet, huh? Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. What else you got on the hauntings?
Visitors and workers in the past have often claimed to hear disembodied voices and even whole rooms worth of chatter in certain areas.
That would
I don't
be...
think I've ever heard anybody describe that before.
What?
All, like chatter, a room, just like a chattering. Whole room of chatter. Like
chitter chatter chitter chatter.
Yeah, I mean we've talked about like haunted like pubs and yeah. eateries that you know like they say like they see apparitions like they're mm-hmm. having dinner or they're talking about like yeah a whole room I don't think we have
but
that'd
yeah.
be kind of cool I think actually
they say that whenever they investigate they find the spaces devoid of life.
Mm. Okay.
So yeah, you're standing out in the hallway and you hear yeah, and like, open doors are.
okay. We're talking about them or wanting to find them. They're talking about us and wanting to avoid us, right?
Hush, here yeah. they come.
Yeah, they say there's a lot of EVPs. A lot of EVP recordings are taken from the building from investigators. So that would be kind of cool. And that's probably one of them would be the voices. Yeah.
I got it. What's round on the sides and high in the middle? Isn't that how that goes? I just thought of that. Ohio. Sorry.
Are we still on Ohio?
I know. I just want the people in Ohio are probably still like burned about that. Like, hey, I just.
They've already turned us off.
I made up for the. Yeah, exactly.
After yelling
just,
at us, they turned us off.
I just made up for that sin, right? No, I didn't. I'm from Indiana, so I probably can't be. Maybe like, yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't know how many we have.
I don't know why that popped in. Yeah, exactly. We got Austin.
We do have Austin. Yeah.
He's just shaking his head now.
Yeah.
He's like, you son of a gun.
That's Sean Lehman for everybody out there. Yeah. They say that a lot of equipment anomalies have been reported by past investigators. So a lot of equipment failure, which mm-hmm. a lot of those places, yeah. you know, drain batteries, make equipment not quite work.
Yep.
Yeah, this is, I like this place. We need to kind of find out how far it is. I never really looked into that. As far as from us, but
that guy that wasn't the nicest superintendent is still there. It says,
oh, the guy that got killed.
Many spirits are claimed to haunt the Fairfield County Infirmary with paranormal activity frequently being reported within the aging building. Many believe that former superintendent Hummel still lingers in the building. He wasn't the nicest person to run the facility and was rumored to have physically abused residents who worked on the facility's self-sustaining farm. It is thought that he may continue to enforce rules. Other spirits in the property. Still overseeing them and silencing their attempts to communicate with visitors. Oh, so he may be shutting everybody up.
So we've heard that before where there's maybe. Like, there's always like a
dominant,
dominant entity or whatever that kind of takes over and you know, that's too bad. Well, you know, he was a jerk in life and now he's a,
he's a jerk
in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad he got what, he, you know,
they say if you're planning a trip, to this place.
Okay.
Plan ahead. Their schedule fills up faster all the time.
I bet.
So yeah, you need to plan it out. Don't just show up thinking that you're going to be able to visit.
Okay. Well, we'll look up, you know, see how far this place is and with the history it has and all the paranormal stuff, activity. I like this place.
That's what they say. There basically isn't a square inch of this place, it doesn't have activity. So there are plenty of areas where activity has also been reported, but isn't necessarily linked to specific spirit. The jail-like cell where residents were often locked up for not following the rules can be active, as well as the attic, dungeon, bathrooms, hallways, some other rooms, and even the lower levels that contain the former morgue. There isn't a place within the building that is described as not being active. Hmm. Many to visit have seen shadows, heard voices, and it is also very common to hear footsteps approach when no one is around.
Hmm. Hmm. That's right up our alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say there's slamming doors, footsteps, whispers.
Yeah.
All the above.
I think everything is covered with this place. You got shadow, you got, you know, little kids, you got an older lady that was killed, and you got the horrible, what was he, superintendent or whatever his position was. You got, whispers,
big shadow
footsteps.
Person.
It's like a buffet of paranormal, and you can go back for seconds.
That's right.
And thirds.
I said earlier, it said that investigators often say that their equipment will malfunction in certain areas of the building. Additionally, many have claimed to come away with recordings rife with EVPs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'd be cool. That is, I tell you what, though, of all the investigative work, if you're in charge of, you know, doing the EVPs, that's tedious.
It is tedious work.
Because a lot of it, you have to go through.
Yeah, you don't hear it initially.
You have to just sit,
go through it and listen.
Just to see if anything came through, and you could be sitting there for hours and mm-hmm. But I guess, it's worth it if you get one thing, right?
Yeah, they say that a lot of people experience intense feelings and of uneasiness.
Yeah.
Especially up in the attic.
Yeah. Or the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm gonna look this place up. So if you guys have anything else, let's see, where is this place located? Good grief.
The building features tall, narrow windows, peeling paint, original wooden floors.
Mm-hmm.
And remnants of
which I think
institutional
is cool.
furniture and medical equipment. The property also contains a historic cemetery with over 1,000 burials, which we mentioned, adding to its haunted reputation.
Mm.
So I wonder if there's something out in the cemetery.
Oh, could be.
I haven't seen anything about it.
Well,
I'm sure
there
is. Surprised.
A lot of spirits at unrest, that aren't even unmarked graves and... people are just treated with complete...
Whose toe is this?
Over here.
Let's see here. I've got it right here. Granville Pike. Just got to put that in there. So from Nate's house to the Fairfield County Infirmary. It's not coming up. There we go. It is 3 hours and 32 minutes, so 3.5 hours.
Bad.
No, not bad. It's kind of right in the middle of the state. Mm-hmm. It showed the map, and so it's right in the middle of whatever you say.
Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
It really, looking at pictures of it, it really reminds me of Indiana State
mm-hmm.
out west.
The ISS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 3.5 hours isn't bad, though, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that'd be a decent drive. I said, it is kind of in the middle, but it's a little south.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know where, Austin lives in...
Lima, Ohio, west.
So, he's west. Okay.
Yeah, it's not too far from Winchester.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of across the border. Yep.
Okay.
So Lima. The reason I know about Lima is that my dad used to call. He had the Midwest for his grocery business that he worked for, and Lima, Ohio, was one of the places he'd go.
Oh, cool! I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean this place is really, it's got everything: history, hauntings. It's not that far away.
There was a recent
it's got every type of
the TIP Paranormal. It says during their August 2025 investigation, the TIP Paranormal team explored the historic Fairfield County Infirmary and documented a series of chilling experiences. Investigators captured numerous photos, audio recordings, including clear EVPs, one in which a female voice distinctly responded no when asked if she wished to communicate. One team member reported a particularly unsettling physical reaction while standing on the second floor, ramp of the former men's wing, she described the sensation of hot pins piercing across the small of her back,
ooh,
a discomfort that persisted for several minutes and abruptly ended once she left the area. In addition to these experiences, the team recorded elevated activity with both REM pods and K2 EMF meters, suggesting an unusually high level of paranormal energy throughout the building.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, I think it's interesting that they call the upstairs the dungeon.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that should be below, but whatever. I guess you can make a dungeon anywhere.
Yeah.
You can use any room, right?
Put the chains up on the wall. That's a dungeon.
That's a dungeon. Yeah. I guess it doesn't have to be downstairs. Yeah.
I think that was the TAPS paranormal. I was like, what's TIPS? I've never heard of TIP before. Yeah, it says TIP here in the article, but then at the bottom it says TAPS. So I'm like,
I've only heard of TAPS.
I think it's TAPS.
Because they had the
Well, that's why TV I was like, show. TIPS must be a different one. Yeah. And then, but it says the TIP.
Yeah, TIP for TAP.
I think they just had a typo. But yeah. And I was like, I think that's TAPS.
Let's see here. It says, we might have already said that, personnel placed the offenders in chains. Okay, we did talk about that, against the wall and quarantined them from the adjacent quarters. Let's see. I think one of you mentioned maybe said another jail cell remained below where 24-hour isolation demanded the rules to be followed. Yeah, did we say that?
It is.
It has a big...
What do you got?
It is actually a TIP. It's the Illinois Paranormalist. So it's a different thing, but at the bottom it says TAPS.
Yeah, that.
So they must be associated.
That cell in the basement has like a big iron.
Oh yeah,
grated door.
It's spooky looking. TAPS and Ghost Hunters are at the bottom. That's why they must just be affiliated with it or something. But yeah, it actually is called TIPS or TIP.
Hmm.
So I've never heard of them before. But there you go. We just gave them a shout out.
They owe us.
They do.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It says the unleashed. This unleashed the dark, eerie energies that stained the walls and plagued the halls from the evil demeanor of the doctors and nurses left behind. Man.
It's intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty crazy. Anything else you have on the infirmary?
Mm-hmm. We're going. We need to.
That and what you said earlier, Nate, that's still when it said it is believed there are over 1,200 persons buried in the cemetery with an additional 1,600 buried further behind. That's... Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's sad, actually. But, and like you said, the unrested dead. That's an interesting term.
Looks like they have a doll room.
Oh, of course.
Oh, do they?
Of course they do.
Yeah, there's dolls.
Hmm.
Yeah, from the pictures, it looks pretty creepy, which, I mean, a lot of places we've been have.
Dolls don't really bug me, but I still don't like the doll rooms.
I wouldn't sleep in the room.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, like when we go to, like when we went to Whispers, like I don't mind being in the room.
But you're not staying there.
But like I wouldn't sleep in the room with all like 200 dolls. No, I'm sorry. Especially that one.
The one that felt like it was kinda moving. Yeah.
It's kind of by itself. Yeah. Did we talk about the
heebie-jeebies?
Kimmel, did we mention the guy named Kimmel? Said, let's see here.
There was a Hummel, but not Kimmel, I don't think.
So forgive me and just stop me if I read, something that you've already read. Mm-hmm. Talking about, I'm just trying to see here. So it says, upon the abandonment of the property in May of 1985, the remaining 16 inmates were forced to other facilities where care surrounded them until their day's end, or were forced to find their own way in the world. The infirmary transitioned to county offices, for a time after proper equipment was installed to accommodate this new purpose. The structure later succumbed to atrophy, where abandonment left it to hold tight its mysteries for the next 7 years, until Adam Kimmel rescued it from its own estrangement to preserve the history and the stories saturating the structure. Once Adam took over the property, a former worker of Clarence E. Miller was known after the 1986 renovation, stopped to give his personal encounter of the property. He explained how he worked there between 2000 and 2004 and mentioned that the third floor cell imprisoned 10 to 14 mentally ill patients against their will. The screams persisted throughout the workday as he attempted to drown them out just 20 years ago. Kimmel further explained, when the undertaker drained the deceased to preserve the body after death, the formaldehyde drained into, now this is gross, The formaldehyde drained into the local water supply through the active stream below the building, poisoning local residents. The stream remains active today. Adam Kimmel hopes to preserve this ancient relic of Fairfield County's history and gives tours through the night to see what may linger about once the sun fades into the night and the darkness steers its guests. So that's crazy that it got into the water stream.
Wow.
That's yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yikes is right.
I didn't think you guys had mentioned, but I was like, mm-mm. I just came across it. I'm like, nope. Oh, that I got to read that. Yeah, that's, Yeah, poisoning local residents because of the formaldehyde. So
that's gross.
This thing, anything else this thing had? I mean, gosh.
I don't think there's
anything that's missing from this place.
No.
It was like
tragedy
little,
and
little
death.
Formaldehyde in my coffee.
Ugh. A little sweet tea, a little formaldehyde in my sweet tea or my cherry Coke. Yeah.
Get the day going right.
The hair on your chest. Yeah, I like to check this place out.
Mm.
I think the creepies ought to look it up and look at the pictures. And yeah, it's a pretty cool place. So yeah, anything else you guys have before we move on?
So.
Okay. That is the Fairfield County Infirmary. Go check it out.
It's officially on our list.
Yeah. 3.5 hours.
It's official.
Yeah. here we go. Yeah.
sorry. That last thing.
Enough with the O's. Okay.
Yeah, no more. That's enough for you, Ohio.
There you go. Oh, gosh, I tell you. Well, let's see here. Nate, what do you think? What do you say? Moment or dark side?
Moment.
Moment?
Yeah, I'm feeling moment. I'm probably wrong.
Well, you've been better than I have lately. I'm going to say, I think you might want to lighten it up, but I'm going to go dark side.
It's light side.
Back.
It's a middle-aged moment. This is funny because it actually really, it doesn't have anything. Normally it's like, oh, this will really reflect what we've talked about this place. It doesn't really have anything to do with this place, but actually with our mental health discussion, this song's been on my mind.
Bark at the Moon.
It is absolutely. And I actually should, since
one of my favorite
today
songs.
Is the 1 year anniversary of Ozman, passing away, but he, did you know that one of the things that I saw, because I saw several things about Ozzy today, and so that's what kind of clued me into the fact that it's been a year, but he signed somebody's urn who had already passed away. That was their one wish, is for Ozzy Osbourne to sign their urn, and then they had him sign it, then they put the ashes in later. But he shows him, like, they took video of him signing this urn. And I was like, that's wild. But he actually agreed to it because it's odd. But it was somebody's last wish for Ozzy Osbourne to sign their urn.
Wow.
And then they, I guess they buried it. I don't know what they did with it. But so who knows? Or could have been like Meet the Falkers kind of thing. But but this is, I think people can feel, whether you're, I know this is from our guy's perspective, we all feel this way. I feel this way from day to day a lot of times. But it's Superman, Five for Fighting. It's not easy, right? I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird. I'm more than a plane. I'm more than some pretty face beside a train. And it's not easy to be me. I wish that I could cry, fall upon my knees, find a way to lie about a home I'll never see. It may sound absurd, but don't be naive. Even heroes have the right to bleed. I may be disturbed, but won't you concede? Even heroes have the right to dream. And it's not easy to be me. Up, up, and away, away from me. Well, it's all right. You can all sleep sound tonight. But I'm not crazy or anything. I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. Men weren't meant to ride with clouds between their knees. I'm only a man in a silly red sheet, digging for kryptonite on this one-way street. Only a man in a funny red sheet, looking for special things inside of me. Inside of me. Yeah, inside of me. I'm only a man in a funny red sheet. So it goes on. But it is not easy to be me. And like I said, I think that's not just Superman, but Supergirl and whatever out there. I think we all kind of feel that way from time to time. So
it's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Aaron Egnat's had them on her show.
Him and his wife. Yeah, which was a really good episode.
And I've heard him before on another podcast before. This was like 20 years ago when the song was popular. And
he's really down to earth.
Yeah, and he's a big sports fan, big hockey.
Yeah,
fan. Yeah, that's obviously how I got
for fighting.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, cool. No, it's good.
Yeah,
pick.
It is a hockey.
Good pick.
I don't know that I realized that until who were we? Well, I forget where I heard that. But it wasn't something that was obvious to me back in the day, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I didn't know until he said it on that podcast. It wasn't. I said podcast. It was a radio show, a sports radio show.
Yeah.
So, Yeah. So, yeah, good pick.
Mm-hmm.
I should have known Miller's moment. I just thought I'd be contrary. I don't know.
There you go.
Good job out of you. We are two shout outs. Who wants to start? Who has a shout out or shout out?
Austin and Lydia, for sure. And Daniel Calhoun was down there too, for taking the proceeds that we got from the Paranormal Expo. They put so much into that, and there was too many to mention right now. Scott and Corey, Lee, Regina, all of us, you know, and all the speakers, Aaron Egnetz, and like I said, I don't want to leave anybody out. Brandon from Tinfoil Hats.
I can't remember.
I'm going to keep going. Yeah, and so and all the people that were there, and it was just they raised a lot of good money for them. And you could tell, we saw the video of them, receiving the money and the picture that they gave them, and they were truly moved. And so I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. They want us to come down there. They want us to come down for an investigation. And Austin said it was interesting because the first time they went down there, and they were obviously very hospitable, and they fell in love with them. And that's why,
you know, I can really see why, because they seemed like one of the sweetest couples.
So sweet. And that's Austin and Lydia are like, this is what it's all about. And so he said, but we were down there when it was cold and there wasn't a lot of activity. So we thought it was a really neat place, a lot of good history, but didn't really get much. He said, this time it's, you know, dog days of summer. He said, it was wild. Just like with Whispers, you know, how we didn't have much. And then we went down there and it was crazy.
It's kind of how it goes sometimes.
He said it was, he had some pretty cool stories from down there. So yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we have to get down there. It'll be cool. And we've done an episode about it. And so it just, and the pictures he sent out, or they sent, I was like, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And shout out to Lydia for wearing our t-shirt in the video.
Yeah.
Like, oh, nice.
Yep.
I said, I know that logo.
She said that was an homage to you. And I was like,
it was very nice.
Well appreciated.
Very nice. Any other shout outs?
I did want to shout out Ella. So our youngest, she's trying out for different. She's been in softball for a long, long time now. She's going to be kind of our last travel sports person in the family, which is awesome in its own right. But we're also glad to have something for her to enjoy doing. But she's trying out for other teams, and I'm really proud of her, like five different teams. She had a really good tryout tonight. And Jenna said, this is really intense, and I'm not sure about this and this team, and I won't mention any details. But she said, when it was all said and done, Ella did a good job, but it was just, the whole process was very intense. And they heard, Jenna was leaving with Ella, and they heard somebody yell, Ella, from the dugout. And they were kind of like, what, you know, did I do something wrong? And the coach ran over to her and said, I don't want you to leave without, I want to offer you a spot on our team if you're interested.
Oh, nice.
And Jenna said, it's a little more pricey, but she said, I really like this team. And so I said, okay, well, we said, no matter what, you're 13 now, you're old enough to decide what you want to do. If you want to stay with your old team, if you get an offer, if you want to go to another team, it's going to be totally up to you. You know, you're old enough to start making those decisions. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of her. I told her tonight, I'm like, I'm proud of you, kid. Not just for the softball stuff, but just being very old beyond her years, you know.
So. Nice. Mm-hmm. What about you, Nate? Any shout outs?
Shout out as always to my wife, Rachel, and my two boys. We had a very, very good vacation. Half of it that I was present for, the other half, not so much.
You know, it got so much better when you were, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know.
We miss you though. I'm not joking. Oh, I don't mean that.
You're texting me. Rachel was texting me. Dane was texting me.
We would say,
miss you. Wish you were
you know
here.
What? Like, Nate, shut up. You know who would,
you're making me feel worse.
You know who would like this right now? Nate. You know, we would. We reminisced a lot about you.
I had to miss Dane's 18th birthday. That was on Friday.
Mm-hmm. You were there? FaceTime.
Yep. I FaceTimed. So I was there somewhat.
Yeah.
But we're going to celebrate this Saturday with family and everything. So it wasn't that big of a deal.
It's when you celebrate is the main thing. Yeah, I get it.
And today, officially today, this Wednesday, is Winston's third birthday.
Oh, wow.
And he's still
a knucklehead.
Right. A knucklehead.
We took him.
I'm not saying he's not, but I just knew what you were going
to
say.
Jude was down there and Winston was down there. And they did awesome, by the way. Once they, what is it? The tramadol or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of like chills.
Yeah.
It does work for Winston. But they, he went to the lake with us one day, mm-hmm. and it was the cutest thing. He was like from the get go, he just was on, and finally wore down just a little bit at the end. But he just loves the lake, so he's like the perfect lake dog. And I really wish Jude was that way, but he would, you know, like the kids loved playing with him, and he kept. So it was funny. He actually went over. We were wondering where the heck is he going, because we were at the party cove where those big cliffs are at, and he was heading over to the rock wall. And we're like, "What's he gonna do? Jump the cliffs?" And he was looking for sticks. So he kept finding these sticks, and then bringing them back to us. And people that were sitting there watching us, they were from Indiana. They had about like four or five boats linked together, and they were in what we call affectionately a pea circle. And they were cute. They were watching the whole time, and you know, saying whatever. And he decided, you know, towards the end, before we, you know, packed up and left, he was heading over to him, and they were like, "Oh, you coming to see us? You coming to see us?" And he noticed that they were like paying attention to him, and he did kind of like a beeline back to us. You're like, "Never mind," a little U-turn,
psych.
And just, it was awesome though. I wish Jude was that kind of dog that could handle it, but Winston was just so cute, and he'd get dried off enough, and then he'd just jump back in, and he'd look like he was a wet rat, basically. Yeah.
And that's medicated.
And that, exactly, right? Yeah. That's a scary part.
Yeah. Shoot. If he is off his medication, he'd probably run so fast he can walk on water. Yeah, he's crazy.
That's funny. Yeah, 3 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other shout outs?
Nope.
Okay.
That's it for me.
All right. I've got two. My Boston Red Sox had a 15-game win streak. Ooh. Got back into the playoff. Well, I shouldn't say got back into. They were never in the playoff position until now. They were two games ahead in the wild card. They won 15 games in a row until tonight. I saw they lost, but that's okay. They're right now. They are in the playoffs.
Is this an anti shout out to Pete Peterson?
This is for Pete. I know he was laughing the whole time that the Red Sox were down in the dumps.
Pete, it's the gleam in his eye right now that you're missing.
And I didn't mention that they, before their 15 game win streak, they had swept the Yankees four games in a row.
Again, gleam.
They won. They beat the Yankees. They won four. Then they lost. They won the fifth game. Then they lost two. And then they went on a 15-game streak. But anyway.
Yeah, 15 games in a row, that's a feat.
Yeah, that's hard to do in any game, any sport, any level. So shout out to my Red Sox for getting back into baseball mode. It's kind of depressing for a while. and then shout out to our good friend, Spides.
Spides.
And what he did, and what was funny is I texted him and told him, and he thought I was kidding. So then he sent me a text message saying, "What? Are you serious?" We, on our TikTok account, got 7,000 likes. He was the one that got us to 7,000.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Shout out to him.
Nice.
For doing that. Like we don't do a whole lot of posting on TikTok. I just do our episodes pretty much. And we haven't done our Tuesday Terrors and Friday, whatever they were called. Yeah. So shout out to him, and shout out to him for being such a great friend. Love him to death. Mm-hmm. He's helped me. He reaches out to me, checks on me. Just a great guy, good friend, and I really appreciate him, and I know you do too. And supports the show, listens. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure we gave him a shout out. So
yeah, he's
nice.
He's hilarious, and I've told him before, and he and I figured out kind of together in our communications that we're very much alike. And poor guy, right? And he probably feels the same way about me. But we leave these long. If we do, sometimes we'll like message each other, but normally we leave those audio messages. And if it's under 5 minutes, that's pretty amazing for us.
That's a win. And
it is a win for us. But he's a good guy. But he'll, you know, we'll be talking along. Both of us do this. You know, like I don't even remember what I was going to tell you, but hey, hello, goodbye.
He and I mainly, you know, text normally, but he's left me two or three voice messages.
Yeah.
And I like it when he does that. And DL does the same thing. he likes to send, now he'll do it through Messenger, but he'll send voice messages.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so cool. He left me one the other day. So anyway, shout out to our good friend Spides, and follow him on TikTok. Cause he's getting back on TikTok, and he is going to be doing TikTok lives on Friday nights. So follow him at I Am Spides, IAMSPIDES. Give him a follow. Great guy.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's, those are my shout outs. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good shout outs.
Yeah. I thought so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great guy. And of course my favorite team, baseball. All right. We are to the sponsorship, Nate. Hey, creepies. Do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Marka Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you so much, Scott and Corey, and Greenwood Happy Haunts for your sponsorship. Appreciate it.
We love them.
Mm-hmm. Great place. Mm-hmm.
Great people.
Good prices. <That's>
good food.
Man, we sounded kind of professional, didn't we?
Almost. It's like
they're great place, great people.
Did they pay prices? Us to say that? No, we're not being paid to say that. We're just saying it out of
the. It's the truth.
It's the absolute truth.
It is the truth.
It is.
We speaketh the truth-eth.
Yeah, that's right.
I like to call Greenwood right Happy Haunts the Mecca of Halloween, of horror, of spookiness, of creepiness.
That's right.
There's just a spotlight.
Oh,
right there.
Oh, that's right. I feel like when we walk up to Greenwood Happy Haunts, we should just bow down and go, we're not worthy.
Titular bells or something.
No, we do. We appreciate them. Appreciate their friendship, more importantly. But we do. We love the store and continued success to our friends Scott and Corey. So
that's right.
Go check out their store in Greenwood, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Greenwood Happy Haunts. So moving on, Sean.
Yes.
Do you have second announcements?
I do. Good. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram, and we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
Yeah. I just looked because I was curious. Mm-hmm. And we're at 76 ratings, so daggone it. Mm. We were at 75 for like 2 years.
Daggone it.
And then we got 76 a couple of months ago, and then we're still at 76. But that's all right. Sounds like I'm griping, but I'm not. Okay. I'm not trying to gripe. I'm just trying to encourage.
Let it
encourage
grow,
our listeners.
Let it
grow. Mm-hmm. You know, you might want as you're let listening to the
blossom,
podcast.
Let it flow. That's right.
Hit that 5-star. Maybe type something. I don't
It doesn't think. Hurt.
It doesn't hurt, Nate. It's free, man. Okay. I'll stop.
Oh, man.
Don't make me beg, please. All right. Thank you, Sean, for that. Good job. Nate.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Well, you know, the 4-H with all the county fairs and everything going on, you know, they look out and we need a fair field.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a wrap.
We need a fair field. I like that. I'm not sure where you're going, but it comes around.
Robin Hood's barn to find that one, but I got it.
I did too. Good job. Good job out of you. All right. Well, thanks, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 279 and our discussion on the Fairfield County Infirmary. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we're middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.